I don't mean to alarm anyone, but we are weeks away from the holiday season. Whether you're celebrating Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, decorations, gifts, they all come into play. I am going to be doing a more purposeful holiday this year, and I'm so happy that our guest today is going to help guide me through that. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we're talking about how upcycling can make your holidays brighter. Welcome back to the podcast, the Nova Scotia SPCA Regional Thrift Store Manager, all-around lovely human, Anya Zub.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here and you're introducing me and possibly some listeners to upcycling, but upcycling around holidays is really what our focus is here today. But I'm sure that we could, you know, put it on any holiday, any kind of decor. Why did you want to do a podcast about upcycling?
I think that, as we know, every year around the holidays, the urge and the push is to buy, buy, buy. And it doesn't matter year over year how many lights you've bought, how much wrapping paper you've picked up, how many people are on your gift list, how many Christmas cards you've sent out over the years. It always feels like you need to send more, buy more, give more. And I think that a lot of those items already exist. And working in thrift the last couple of years, I see how many items already exist. And there are really easy, fun ways that we can take items that are already in existence, give them a little bit of a tweak, and turn them into something entirely new. And really, that's what we talk about all the time in thrift, is giving second chances to items.
And, you know, you've introduced this topic to the organization, like you've really pushed this. Not that you're pushy, but you've really pushed this.
I can be pushy.
And so I find myself doom scrolling or scrolling on social media. And what you have started to instill in me, so I want to just let you know, is I see a craft, you know, somebody who's made a very great reel or TikTok, and it makes it look so easy and fun. And I don't say to myself, oh, I've got to go to X craft store and buy something new to do it. I say, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the SPCA thrift store and see what materials I can do, because I have in the past, which is why I'm trying to be like more conscious sure. of my spending, mm-hmm. more conscious of my impact, more conscious of my time. You know, I have a toddler, and you could really, I feel, if I don't work on the slowness, on the appreciation, the gratefulness of community around this time of year, then when can I instill that?
And I think that's all really, really great stuff. I appreciate that you're looking for new ways and different ways to be more mindful and more conscientious of time and money and effort and time that we spend together and get to contribute to each other's lives in meaningful ways. I think that the holidays really create a lot of frenzy, and yes. and that's what people end up feeling. So the best thing I find about upcycling is, for starters, you're right, it's not just about running out and buying all of the pieces you need, because we also know that things that are being made now are not as good quality mm-hmm. as things that were made 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even further back than that. But these crafts, and even the act of going to the thrift store to find items to contribute to these crafts, those are all things you can do as a family. Those are things that you can do with your kiddo. They're things that you can do with your partner.
So when we're talking about the benefits of upcycling, like to the point for our listeners, what are they?
The reality is you are using items that are already in existence. We are not spending money on brand new items that have been created specifically for the purpose of having people spend money. You're getting an opportunity to do something with the people in your life, or just to give yourself a little bit of a break. And the act of thrifting doesn't have to be single purpose. So when you're picking up items to do your upcycling, maybe you're also just finding some items to make your day brighter.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So I would like to make some crafts for my holiday season.
Sure.
I'm going to go to one of my five local thrift stores in Nova Scotia for the SPCA. And where are they again, Anya?
We've got stores in Dartmouth, Cape Breton, New Minas, Stellarton, and now Colchester.
Woohoo! So I'm going to the thrift store, and what kind of items, like, should I be looking for? Like, can you give us a top level of, like, here's the easiest items that I think you should look for when you're at the thrift store to upcycle?
So I think that should is always really difficult for me because right. It depends on what your end results okay. you want to yeah. be. But things that I look for are men's button-down shirts, long sleeve in seasonal colors or patterns I just really enjoy in case you're not a red and green girly. Maybe you're an animal print girly. I look for denim that has no stretch in it because it's useful for all kinds of things. I look for really interesting cut crystal or cut glass dishes that I can use for candle melts. I check out the craft section to see if I can find any small items like ribbon or stickies or like small kids' toys that can be spray painted and turned into other things. And then I always check out the card section because I think that anytime you're working on crafts, having a paper cut outable item with an image that you really love is a nice way to take it from like a B+ to an A+.
There is, again, listeners are going to think I spend my life on TikTok, but there is a crafter on TikTok. And when she goes to the thrift stores, one of the things that she always buys is picture books.
Sure.
And patterns.
Yep. Both are really, right? really great choices.
Because you can gift wrap in them. You can use them as tissue. It just makes, it also elevates.
Sure.
Right? Instead of a dollar store bag, it elevates it that I took this time, I think. I think it also reflects that the thought process that goes into making something special instead of it all looks the same under the tree.
The world does not need another dollar store gift bag. Full stop.
Political statement done.
Mic drop.
There are some items that you talked about, you know, that you've used, but tell us, where does this come from being the thrift store manager?
Some of it for sure. I don't think that you can exist around all of those donations and all of those items without finding different and interesting ways to think about how they can be used and how they can exist in your life or in someone else's life. But even growing up, my parents are both fairly environmental, so we always had reusable cloth bags that my mom would make. She still makes a couple every year. And some of the ones that now as an adult I use to wrap gifts for my partner or his mom, those are the same cloth bags that my mom made when I was a child that like toys that I received were in. And that's kind of a really cool thing when you think about these bags going back and forth and to different family mm-hmm. members over the last like 42 years. And I think that it's that idea that these are things that can be made to last and they can carry on those traditions is really important too. We just don't need more garbage.
Right. And so tell our listeners, because, you know, I keep saving these posts about making something and I say, I'm going to do it. And then we run out of time. Right. So what are some of the tools that I need at home for that beginner level upcycling?
I think a really good pair of scissors and a little bit of storage space will get you most of the way to where you're going. Even if you don't have a sewing machine, you've got an old men's shirt and you like the pattern on it. Cloth can be used the same way that wrapping paper can be used. Mm-hmm. And you can actually skip the tape because cloth can also be tied. And then you can add a ribbon. And that's a really nice way to put a gift together. And you don't have to be married to the pattern because potato stamps are still a real thing you can do with your kids.
Exactly. And I want to talk about the thing that keeps catching my eye that I've told you I'm going to, after this podcast, run down to my local SPCA thrift store. I am in love with their, you know, listeners, when you used to take construction paper and cut it into strips and make a garland or a paper chain. You have brought a paper chain that you have made, and I love it so much. And you've made it Christmas. It's green and red, but I'm thinking any other holiday, that, you know, has colors associated to it or things like that you can make. Can you explain, and we'll put a picture up. You can head over to any of our socials when this airs and you can look at this, because I am enamored on how easy this is. Because I first saw it and I thought, oh, I don't have a sewing machine. How am I going to do this? Can you please tell our listeners about this?
Sure. The item that Sarah is talking about is a looped garland made from the cuffs off of men's dress shirts. And the examples you're going to see online were all items that I made in the office using office supplies. So definitely a sewing machine can be helpful. But for this particular item, they're just the cuffs cut right off. And then the buttons that come on them are how they're interconnected. And I think you're right, they can be used for any occasion. And because it's a button, they're completely reusable. So if your kid's favorite color is green, you can save all of your green cuffs and make a green garland for their birthday. Red and green for holiday, yellow and purple for Easter, however you want to roll forward.
Blue and white for Hanukkah.
Yes.
You know, I love it so much. Another thing that you have brought in that I also love, as a kid who grew up with and I still have it, an advent calendar that my mom made, a felted advent calendar. You have brought in an advent calendar and it's so cool. And again, we see a lot online where people aren't just using advent calendars for Christmas. They're using it for lead ups to birthdays, to anniversaries, to Halloween, to a lot of different things. Can you tell us about this advent calendar?
Sure. So this one's very simple. It is the back pockets off of blue jeans. And in this case, I've used a red Sharpie to put the numbers on them. But of course, you can dress it up as much or as little as you want. Shirt pockets also work. I really love the country vibe of a denim pocket. And if I were doing this project at home, I'd probably be tempted to add a lot of glitter and maybe a little bit of lace or dress up the hems on them. The one you're going to see is interconnected using bull clips. but of course, there's a variety of different ways these pockets can be put together.
So I have done an advent calendar of sorts from our thrift store.
Sure.
I bought my sister, so she already has it when she's listening. I bought her an advent calendar for the year of books. Nice. I went to the thrift store and I got a variety of books and I didn't wrap them in material, but next time I would. And in the pocket, you could put, you know, for the month that you want to try something new in the kitchen, and it's a cookbook. It doesn't have to be just one type of book, right? So for, you know, the month that you want something spooky. And I love the idea now of like, well, why don't I wrap it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that like it doesn't even necessarily have to be thrift dependent. If you really think about the way that we like grow up and our bodies change and our clothing changes and we still love an item or our kids outgrow their items, there's just a real big opportunity to carry those memories forward without losing that core memory of like, this was the shirt my kid played soccer in. And like now maybe it's like part of their advent calendar, you know?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. As somebody who has kept all of my
child's
first year clothing in a box, I keep getting asked, why is this box of clothing not at the thrift store? And I'm like, I want to do something with it. Sure. That's a great idea. So when we think about upcycling, what are some ideas for just the personal use, like things that we can personally use with upcycling?
So one of my favorite things in terms of like that personal use side of stuff, I tend to like take yarn from old sweaters in stores, deconstruct them, take the yarn from those, and I might use that to make things for other people.
Or... So can we, I just want to talk about that because I've seen...
You've seen videos, TikToks of these.
Oh my gosh. I do have a job and a life where they say that they go to a thrift store and they take the yarn. So how easy, because in my head, I can't imagine, is that an intermediate or expert upcycling?
It depends on what you're taking apart. So I have like a lace weight sweater at home. It's 100% cashmere. I am for sure going to take the yarn out of it because I'm not a big cardigan girly, but black cashmere, yes, please.
But how do you take it apart?
You de-seam it and then you take apart the pieces.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. You take a seam ripper. Yes. And you take it apart at the seams, like where the materials stitch together.
Yeah.
And then once it's apart, you lay it out flat and you find yourself an end and you just start pulling.
And you just start pulling.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how do you upcycle it?
I would wind it into balls and then I would re-knit it into something else. But like, I am a higher than intermediate level knitter.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
But if you were to say, want to make like yarn dolls or ornaments that are like tassels or pom-poms for the holidays, all of those things can come from secondhand yarn, from sweaters that you like the yarn on.
Right. There is lots of videos on how to make pom-poms.
Absolutely. And you don't need to go out and buy an expensive pom-pom maker. You can just use a cut cereal box.
Wow. That's a good one with your kids too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So that's upcycling for personal use.
Sure.
What about, can you tell us some more about some decorative uses for upcycling?
Oh, I love the decorative upcycling. I don't always fall in love with traditional, easy to buy, store-bought ornaments. And I think that has really resonated with most people, which is why we're seeing a lot of like blown glass ornaments that are completely off the wall. Everything from like hippos and bathtubs to like donairs. Have we seen the donair ornaments that you can get at Michael's? Super strange. Not a thing we'd ever thought we'd see. But every now and then, I just want to know, what would it look like if I took the legs off of a bird toy and just put them on a traditional Christmas ball? And I think it's funny and I think it's quirky and it's so cute. Mm-hmm. Or what if you had like some old dinosaur toys? And I know that you're a dinosaur girly.
I am.
So just some regular dinosaur plastic toys. And what if you spray painted them gold and put hooks on them and hung them from your tree?
Adorable.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that the world is necessarily made for all the ways in which we are weird and wonderful, and finding ways to take already existing objects and turn them into what we actually want our holidays to look like is one of the greatest gifts that upcycling can give us.
I mean, that's beautiful. First of all, that's like a way to end it, but we're still talking. But I think it's so true. I'm really struggling with this idea of, like, I have ornaments that I remember putting on my tree at a very young age that I fought my sister for when we were dividing up when we were adults. Like, no, those are the ornaments I need. And it's one set. Sure. It's one set of ornaments. And so I've been thinking about this a lot because I do fall into the whole, like, look at this new theme that we have of ornaments this year. It's all candy, or it's all, you know, this or that. And I go, oh, well, maybe if I pick up that ornament, it can be a heirloom ornament for my son. And really, it is, it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, you never know what's going to be a family heirloom, though. When my sister was in first grade, she made a nativity scene in Sunday school. And instead of, like, the baby Jesus in the manger is a peanut. And to this day, we talk about peanut Jesus in my parents' house when we're home for Christmas. And it is one of my favorite things. You don't know what is going to be a treasured memory for your family until you're there. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it is really great that we can go out and we can be like, hey, like, my kid loves this right now. Like, and I can buy an ornament that resonates to that. But what if you just made salt door ornaments every year and you maybe made three or four and you have like the memories of making them and you have the dough ornaments and you can like personalize that even if you don't have the kiddos. Probably about 10 years ago, I made my university roommate had just moved out. She'd gotten like a new tree. She needed some ornaments and I made her a bunch of like luchador salt dough ornaments for her tree. So she has a bunch of like Mexican wrestler masks on her Christmas tree that I made for her out of salt dough. And like, I just painted them with acrylic paint. And she loves them. She's also got like vintage 1940s tin ornaments on her tree. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what's going to be important and special until we get there.
You're true. That's true. I think when we talk about the salt dough ornaments, we lost our family dog, in January. And at Christmas, I remember thinking I should do a salt.
Yeah.
Salt dough ornament of her paw print.
I will also say that salt dough is a terrible tactile experience and the cornstarch recipe is much better. Just
okay.
So that no one thinks I'm new.
Okay.
I know what's up.
And it's good for our animals if we did like a paw print with it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it wash their paws when you're done, because we never know what's gonna stick to anything. But absolutely. And I think that just in a world of upcycling, even if you don't trust your painting skills, if you're doing like a salt dough or a cornstarch dough, you can once again take like a knitted sweater and you can press it into the dough to put patterns on it. Mm. So you don't need to be super talented to do this. You can press a pattern into the dough, use a cookie cutter, drinking straw to poke a hole in it. And like that classic white could be great. Or you can just single color paint them after that.
When in the thrift stores, part of upcycling would be buying already, you know, ornaments, sure. right? Like, because you're giving it a second, Absolutely. Second home. So do you see a lot of like holiday items come through thrift?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People update every year or they're downsizing, and we receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in ornaments that folks are no longer using, lights, outdoor decor, large scale decor, all types of things. We go pretty full Griswold on our house. Our lights are already up. See if you can find us. probably about 4,200 lights on my house this year. And I would say about half of them were bought from thrift.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there. They already exist. You're going to get them at a much better price.
Yes.
And they're still in really great shape. And even if you have to do small repairs or like replace a couple bulbs, there's a lot of really great vintage opportunities for buying in thrift. I just, at this point in my life, I'm not sure that I would go to a traditional retailer except to look at Christmas.
Get inspiration.
Or just get that feeling. I mean, there's something really special about retail at Christmas, and I know that that doesn't resonate with everybody, but like I'm a retail girly, and like I love what I do, and there's something really neat about being in like Canadian Tire in the light aisle and just bathing in it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say I helped a friend who needed a new Christmas tree this year, and she was able to get a very nice tree. I mean, much nicer than the one I have at home. A very nice tree, a second home. And I can't even say it was a fraction of the cost. It was so accessible to this new family that needed a Christmas tree. And I think, we're talking about Christmas, but there's holidays all year long. So do you keep the items at thrift until we're into that season? Do you have it all year long?
Oh, it depends on the store. Some of our stores have more storage than others. So at some of the locations, you can find seasonal items all year long. Some of them you are going to find very large displays at certain times of year. We are talking about Christmas because it also tends to be like a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also well known for these things. So like our New Minas location is well known for their Christmas room.
Like a whole room.
A whole room starting mid-October straight through December. And they save items all year, and they have the storage to do that and do it well.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And a lot of it, because it's the Valley and the nature of the Valley, it tends to be quite vintage and quite neat and one of a kind and very like heritage in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something super special that you're looking for, it's a great thrift store to check out for that. But really all of the stores get a pretty good smattering of interesting and unique items. And I would say that like all gifting occasions are a big deal, and we try and support as many as we can. But of course, we're limited to what we receive in donations, as opposed to stores that get to buy stock to support a gifting yes. occasion.
Yeah, no,
we sure. we can really only supply to what we receive.
And I know we're talking about upcycling a lot today, but I do want to touch, because again, going back to what I said about trying to set the tone for 18 years in my own house, for the second year in a row, my son's toys are either upcycled
mm-hmm.
or I bought them from thrift.
Amazing.
A secondhand Christmas. So can you, you know, people listening might think, oh, thrift, I don't want to get a gift from thrift. But can you explain either why, how? I know we've talked in the past, you and I, about like how do you make a gift basket as a host gift if you're going somewhere this holiday season from thrift?
Sure. I think that that's to a really great point. I mean, we have baskets. We have very nice baskets. And we have baskets that are not new basket prices, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a much nicer basket than you're going to get anywhere you're going to buy a basket for a regular price. You can get some of the vintage linens to put in there with it. We've got glassware in all of our locations.
So much glassware.
And really like beautiful decorative plates, small items. You can really tailor make something and create it by mixing thrifted goods with gourmet goodies. And so for me, I would be really tempted to pick up a couple of like small sherry glasses, put them in a basket, maybe with some of those like vintage doilies that I might clean up a little bit. And then I can add some water crackers and a bottle of sherry. And like, that's like a really nice gift for one of Andrew's great aunts, Andrew being my husband. And I just, I don't know, like that's, to me, we tend to do baskets of consumables and we upgrade them with items from thrift to complement whatever is in those consumable baskets.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So our listeners are thinking, okay, maybe I don't know where to start with my personal crafting yet, but can I go to my local SPCA thrift store and what can I do for like a Christmas party for everybody?
I mean, one of my favorite things about the holidays is the new and growing prevalence of the ugly Christmas sweater.
Love the ugly Christmas. I love it. I love it.
Absolutely. There's a national day for it. I want to say it's December 18th. I could have the day wrong. Feel free to comment on that if I have the day wrong. But I think that if you are hosting a Christmas party and you do not have an ugly Christmas sweater decorating station, I don't really know what you're doing at that party. It's super simple to pull together some small ornaments, some ribbons, some bows, maybe even just like some clip-ons or pin-ons or stickers and put them at a station, invite everybody to wear a sweater that maybe they don't wear all the time anymore, or to go out and thrift a sweater that they can decorate up. I'm looking at your bright green sweater right now and I'm just thinking like this would be so easy to decorate for the holidays. And you can just really have a good time with it because I think the thing that we lose a lot as adults is we lose our friends to like a lack of activity. Do you remember when you were like a kid and everybody was an activity friend? Like this is your friend from soccer, right? And this is your, yes, friend from Girl Guides. As adults, we don't really have activities anymore.
Right.
So nothing is anchored to like a task.
Yeah.
So you're just sort of like, hey, when was the last time we hung out? And it's like, I saw you at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 99% of my life. But if we were at my Christmas party 2 years ago, you know, the one where we made the ugly Christmas sweaters, you can really anchor those relationships and those engagements as well. And I think that that's just as important for adults as it is for kids.
Well, and you got me, like literally, I had to turn my phone off for this podcast so it didn't make any noise. But I have a group of friends and we're trying to figure out what to do for the holidays. And I really have kind of a strict rule against going out for dinner.
Sure.
Because
ooh, an activity.
Do an activity, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can go to the thrift store and we can get items to make an ugly sweater or to make crafts, you know?
Yeah.
So now you've got me thinking about that.
Once you cut the cuffs off those shirts to make your garland, you're going to have all that extra shirt. You can make some cute bows for your ugly Christmas sweaters.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Is there an item that you have upcycled that is your favorite?
Ooh, I really like lately finding cute cut glass bowls, and then I use like microwave melt wax and essential oils, and you can buy pre-cut wicks from the craft store. You don't have to get super special anything. They're pre-cut, they're pre-waxed, easy go. Melt your microwave wax, scent it how you want it, put a wick in that cut glass bowl, pour your wax in, and you have like a beautiful candle. And I mean, we know how much candles are right now. They're ridiculous. Candles are extremely pricey, but they're so easy to make and actually really like financially responsible to make. You could even take your old candles and just melt that wax down as well. Mm-hmm. Recandle those.
And so for those of us who aren't in the retail space, cut glass.
You know, like old candy dishes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That'll be a cut glass dish. Or like those old like crystal ashtrays make beautiful three wick candle holders.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Anya, our listeners, this podcast are saying to themselves, you know what? I'm going to try, because maybe I'm a beginner crafter, sure, like me, or maybe they're an experienced crafter. I'm going to try to upcycle. What do our potential customers and the customers who are listening need to know about thrift this month?
Oh, thrift this month, we are having a variety of opportunities to purchase really great items. We do a weekly tag sale. And so every week, a different colored tag is going to be 50% off. So no matter when you shop at SPCA Thrift, there's always a great deal going on. And if you're a member, you're always going to be collecting points. Those points add up to cash off future purchases.
So talk to me just really quickly.
Sure.
Because I was in the thrift store recently and I heard somebody say, what is the loyalty program? What is the loyalty program?
The loyalty program is a free program where every dollar you spend gets you 5 points. Your first redemption level happens at 100 points for $1 off. So in an easy translation, every $20 you spend, you get a dollar back to spend on something else.
And how do you become a loyalty member?
You can sign up online at spcathrift.ca, or you can sign up at the register of any of our thrift stores.
What I love is, again, you know, just not contributing to the environment. My SPCA thrift card is in my Apple wallet.
Mine is in my Google wallet.
So easy peasy.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Anya, thank you for coming onto the podcast today. If you liked this podcast, please share it with your friends. Please give it 5 stars. And please sign up to the SPCA Thrift Loyalty Program and come into one of our 5 stores. Not only are you going to get a great deal, you're going to find unique items. And I just want to hammer this home, in case it hasn't been hammered home this episode. It is more than pet items.
Correct.
What is your number one seller?
Our number one seller is women's clothing.
All right. So listeners, you've liked this podcast, you've shared it, you've subscribed, you've gone to spcathrift.ca, you have become a loyalty member, and you are going to go into one of our 5 stores this month and take a moment to enjoy this holiday season without the hustle and bustle. Take some time to craft with your kids, with your friends, by yourself as a part of self-care, and know that you are giving second chances to those items, but all of the profits from the SPCA thrift stores help give second chances to animals in our province.